Growing up, I was incredibly picky when it came to food. I had a short list of dishes that I would eat at restaurants. Burger, chicken Caesar salad, or salmon fillet. But it wasn't until I was leaving Vancouver at the age of 23 that I ventured out of my culinary comfort zone. I tried salmon sashimi for the first time, and it was incredible. The tenderness and richness. I couldn't believe that I'd been living in the salmon capital for so long and was about to move to a country where salmon sashimi was always served slightly frozen. From that moment on, I made a pact with myself to try anything at least once. There have been a few dishes that didn't quite agree with me. I'm looking at you, stinky tofu and durian. But I've also discovered countless new flavors in cuisines like fresh octopus or beef tartare with raw egg yolks that I never would have experienced otherwise. It's a reminder to always stay open to new experiences, even if they seem daunting at first. Welcome to Self-Help Junkie, the podcast where we explore the world of personal development through the eyes of book enthusiasts. I'm your host, Erica Ng, a communication coach and your resident bookworm. This season, we'll be focused on finding purpose, motivation, and inspiration. But before we dive into the conversation with our guest, let's get a one-minute summary of the book. Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert is a memoir that follows the author's journey of self-discovery and healing after a painful divorce. Divided into three sections, the book chronicles Gilbert's travels to Italy, India, and Indonesia, each destination representing a different aspect of her quest for purpose and inspiration. In Italy, Gilbert indulges in the pleasure of food and language, rediscovering joy in simple pleasures and delicious cuisines. She learns the art of pleasure-seeking and embraces life's richness. In India, she embarks on a spiritual journey, spending time at an ashram and seeking solace and enlightenment through meditation and introspection. She grapples with the complexities of faith and devotion, ultimately finding peace within herself. Finally, in Indonesia, she finds love and balance as she connects with the local community and learns the true meaning of friendship and companionship. She discovers that happiness can be found in unexpected places and that love can heal wounds and restore hope. Through her storytelling and introspective reflections, Eat, Pray, Love offers the readers a powerful message of resilience, self-discovery, and the transformative power of travel and self-reflection. It's a journey of finding purpose, inspiration, and ultimately inner peace. And with that, let's dive in. Today we have on Kimberly J. Benoit. She is a best-selling author of the book We've All Done It and the host of the podcast of the same name. She's also a leadership consultant coach who helps companies get real with the role we each play in creating toxic workplaces so we can become more confident leaders, teams, and organizations in the process. So, Kimberly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And this is not the first time we've spoken. I've also been on your podcast and it was a really interesting experience. But do you want to just tell people a little bit about what your podcast is about and what the goal is?
Absolutely. And thank you for the chance to promote it.
Of course.
A big purpose of what I do is I believe that we all, even when we're best intentioned, we all bring a little bit of fun to dysfunction. So when you have something going on, whether in your life or in work, we have to slow down and understand our role in it. And the purpose of the podcast itself is to bring people on to humanize the fact that we all make mistakes. I feel like we live in a world that is always so glossy and so perfect and Instagram worthy, and where people just, I fear or scared to admit when they've made mistakes, or quite frankly, I think we're also in a very egocentric place in our culture right now where you don't want to own a mistake. And I want to bring that back. I want to humanize it. I want to show compassion to it and say, we all make mistakes. That's the purpose of the title. We've all done it. And so what can we learn from each other and through each of our unique experiences and apply it forward? So very similar to your podcast, a slightly different topic, but the idea of we can learn from each other. We can have sympathy with each other. We can have a lot of compassion for each other as we navigate this crazy world we're all living in right now.
Right. Definitely necessary in a world that seems so divided and people, at least the vocal people, tend to be on the extreme ends, and being able to see from a different perspective and understand where that comes from. Because I do believe that humans in general are good. We try our best
It's not mm-hmm. always going to come across that way. but yeah, no. Definitely humanizing.
Well, I mean, you know, we have our brains are just amazing at creating drama and our brains are amazing at filling in the spaces.
Right.
But they usually don't fill it in with altruistic motive or, you know, maybe we just watch a little bit too much of like Desperate Housewives or, you know, Dateline. I don't know if, you know, across the country, like across right. the world, you know, like those are like murder mystery shows. You know, I don't know if our brain just naturally wants to fill it in with something that makes a great story yeah. versus maybe it, usually real life is not nearly as exciting as what our brains tell us it is.
No, like our brains are really good at looking negative experiences and remembering those because that's what protected you. Mm-hmm. But that also means that you're constantly looking for dangers. So yeah. you kind of have to pivot. Speaking of which, you brought in a book today, Eat, Pray, yes. Love. I'm sure most people have heard of it. And it is a very positive and light book. So first off, when did you come across this book? What stage of life were you in?
I came across the book long before it was a movie. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows it now, I believe, yes. because of the movie.
Right.
And if you've seen the movie, go actually read the book. Because I feel like the book is better. The books are usually better.
Always.
Just because there's more context. So I would say, having to think back, I was probably the late 2000s. Hmm. And I was, at the time I was married but we were living separately. Mm-hmm. And I would say our relationship wasn't probably in the best place. Mm-hmm. Professionally, I was in a good place, but personally, I was not in a good place. It was interesting because I remember reading the book. They show it in the movie, but the book is a little bit better. But there's a moment in the book where she talks about how she's in the bathroom and she's essentially having a panic attack mm-hmm. because on the outside, everything looks great.
Right.
The relationship on paper is exactly what everyone is supposed to want. She has a husband, she has a home, you know, they're talking about, you know, having a family, but she's having a panic attack and she can't mm-hmm. figure out why. And the reality of it is because she was living a life that wasn't true to herself. Mm-hmm. Right. So the relationship wasn't the right thing for her. She wasn't in the right place, but it was an interesting moment because I remembered the way it was written. I remember thinking, oh my God, I know exactly what she's feeling. I know exactly right. how she feels. Because technically I had a great job. I had a cool husband who had a cool job. Mm-hmm. Like, and it concerned me because you keep right. reading the book and you realize they get divorced. It's not a very amicable one.
Right.
And then she proceeds to then repeat her mistake. So mm-hmm. she goes into a series of dating men that are like what she thinks she wants, what she thinks are right, but actually she's repeating bad patterns. Mm-hmm. And my favorite line from that part was when they said, you're dressed like, you're dressed like your new boyfriend. Like she changes herself right. to match who she's with. But then she decides like she's got to go figure her stuff out. Mm-hmm. Right. Which I was like, oh, well, that's an interesting concept. So fast forward for your listeners. So I ended up going through a divorce. The relationship was not healthy mm-hmm. for either one of us, quite frankly. It was not amicable. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to figure out who I was after that. And it shouldn't shock anybody. The first person I dated after the divorce had traits very similar to my husband. But I caught it and I was like, whoa, what's happening here? And then I found myself thinking, I need to go figure my stuff out. Like, who am I now? Because mm-hmm. I'm not who I was before we got married.
Right.
I'm not who I was in the marriage. I need to figure out who I am in this new stage and who a right partner is for me today. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to keep making the same mistakes.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, no, I did not have a beautiful trip to Italy.
I was going to ask you, like, what three cities did you end up going to?
Well, I did book a ticket right mm-hmm. after my divorce. I did go to Scotland.
Oh.
And I went alone. It was my first international solo trip. And I will say something that was pivotal, too, because it showed me I was stronger than I was, than I thought I was. Because like, it's scary to say you're going to go travel
for sure.
at 40. For the first time alone internationally. it was the best thing I ever did. Yeah. I had so much fun. Oh, and I realized, I realized I really like traveling by myself. You don't have anybody to worry about. You don't have anybody else to make sure they're happy or comfortable or whatever. And, So when we were talking about this topic,
it's so amazing when you figure out that, like, I like hanging out with myself. Like, I like who this person is, and I like indulging, like taking yourself on a date and like figuring out what you want to do. It feels so self-indulgent.
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, are there moments like it was awful and you're like, oh, I'm going to die alone. Yes. I think you had those moments too, because, you know, you weren't sure. It's not clear anymore. So right. Like this life you thought you were going to have doesn't exist. It's gone. And so suddenly the landscape is completely free. Mm-hmm. And so in part of that, you're trying to figure out, what is my relationship with myself? What relationship do I want to have with other people? Mm-hmm. And then how does that influence how I move through my life going forward? Mm-hmm. Because now my goals are completely different. What's important to me may become different, and how I want to impact the world is probably going to look different. Right. When you start to address your unhealthy tendencies, your unhealthy habits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll say I'm still not perfect. I still work on it a lot of therapy. because I needed help in figuring out who I was now. And I really wanted to feel more comfortable in my own skin before I figured out how to bring who I was to another person, or how to show up as authentically as I could. Because for so long I had to hide a lot. I felt like I needed to hide the things in my life that weren't going well, or the parts that were unsavory, you know. And I think anybody who's in a negative, really in a bad place, does that. Like you want to show the shiny parts. You want to show the parts that are going well. And I found myself, and again, it could just be I hit middle age too. I just got tired of that. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to figure it out. And I wanted to get more clear on who I was and who I wanted to be going forward.
Right. It makes sense, especially in terms of when you're younger, you're like, it'll get better. Like, I'll get used to it, or like things will fall into place. And then you get into a place in your life and you're like, it's not changing. Is this the rest of my life? I either do something about it now, or it never changes. Right. So you were saying that you left your relationship and went on a solo trip and started figuring out who you were. Who were you when you were in Scotland? What did you find out about yourself?
I would say I felt like it was a little bit like you're coming out of a cocoon in a weird way, like, or like out of a slumber, like a hibernation. Mm-hmm. I was still very cautious about just how I interacted with people. I still felt very unsteady with who I was. What did I want? And all I knew was I felt like this was a pivotal moment in me figuring that out, was that I wasn't going to be somebody who was scared, who was going to stay home because that was a safe thing. I wasn't going to be somebody who didn't try something new simply because somebody else thought it wasn't a good idea. Mm-hmm. I hiked a ton. I walked so much, and I went to clubs, which I just did all kinds of weird things. I tried haggis, and I have to tell you, anytime you put a bourbon, what did they put on it? It was like a Scotch brown sauce. Anytime you put something that's got like bourbon on it on top of food, it's lovely. What I really chose to do was to slow down and just appreciate where I was in each moment.
Right.
It's a beautiful country, so you're kind of always a little bit enamored about where you are and what you're seeing.
Right.
And appreciating the history. Like, I'm going to come and go. Things are going to come and go. So how do you just steady into where you are and appreciate this moment? Because it's not going to last forever. Your whatever pain, whatever struggle isn't going to be forever. And what do you want to learn from it? What do you want to do differently? Like, I learned immediately, I couldn't wait to book my next trip, which I did. And then I went to London, and then I went to Paris, and then, you know, and I just kept, so in a way, maybe I did have my own little.
You did.
But I didn't do it all in like 1 year.
Right.
Maybe I did it, sprinkled it out a little bit. And I just kept doing it. And I kept proving to myself that I'm a pretty fun person. I really love food. I love food. I think food is its own love language.
It is.
I'm just saying, I don't think that people take that, you know, they say that, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. No, that's not just men. No. Like if you're a picky eater, it's going to be a rough life. Or that's just not something I'm going to pursue. I love food. I love just walking around and getting lost and not having an agenda, which is interesting. Having been a corporate girl all my life who lives and dies by her calendar, I really loved absolutely unstructured time. And that was something that was new for me to understand about this person I was becoming. I became more creative. I started wanting to write more and journal more, which is not something I had done. So it was really interesting as I gave myself space to breathe without anyone else around to comment or judge who I slowly became.
Right. Especially if you've been in a relationship or even in a physical space for a long time, whether it be your own mindset or the expectations of others, you tend to narrow what you do and what you think is possible. And that's one of the beautiful things that I love about travel. It takes you to a completely new place with no one who has expectations around you. And you can just...
Nobody knows you.
Do. You can just do it without... And if you don't like it, like no one has to know about it. No one else needs to ever see those pictures.
No. Well, and here's the thing. I tell you, because I really love how you set up your podcast and, you know... Because I really was thinking about how hard it would be to really understand what's your purpose in life if you don't have a good relationship with yourself. And if you don't really know yourself, or if you only know yourself through the eyes of someone else. Because what you're going to do is you're going to pursue their passion for you versus your passion for you. And I think what became pivotal for me in those years was... The more I started to understand myself as I was in this chapter of my life, who, you know, I wasn't in my 20s anymore. Like, I found myself willing to make different choices about what I wanted to do, what I thought my greatest value to the world was, what I thought my greatest value to a relationship was. And it wasn't the same as it was 5 years before, 10 years before. And that only happened when I forced myself not to be in, like, not to be in a relationship and to spend time with myself and really learn. And part how you do that, I would say, is travel because again, and travel by yourself. Because again, like I feel like other voices will always, and even if they want the best for you, they're going to influence you in the way they want you to go. They're going to want to see the best version of you that's in their eye versus maybe who you are yourself. And I just want to say this because I think this is an important story. So when you people are like, oh, I couldn't go to Paris alone. Okay. I've heard this a lot because I've gone to Paris probably more times than any other place I've traveled. And because I got that a lot. And they were like, how can you go to the city of love alone? Isn't that depressing? And I was like, no. I was like, because what I do is I said, I sit in cafes, and which I love. I people watch. I love to people watch. And I said, yes. I said, here's the thing. Are there people like snuggling up, making out, whispering sweet nothings to each other? Absolutely. And I said, yes. Sometimes you're like, oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
And then... If you allow your gaze to broaden just a little bit and focus on the couple right beyond them, there's for every one of those cutesy little couples, there's another couple who is sick of each other's shit and they do not like each other.
Right.
And they really are fuming and are not enjoying their life.
Right.
And I said, so it's really about what you chose, what you choose to focus on. So if I just sat there and was like, man, I'm so lonely, wouldn't that be great? That's a mindset, absolutely. But that's not always the reality. So if you're in a healthy relationship with yourself and with someone else, that's beautiful. If you are in an unhealthy place with yourself and someone else, you are, it doesn't matter where you are. It's awful. And you're not going to make good decisions because you're just trying to survive.
Right.
And so I say, go to Paris. Absolutely. Go to Paris by yourself. Fall in love with yourself.
Yeah.
Go eat all the chocolate and all the bread and all the cheese, drink all the wines, walk all over, go to the cutesy little shops and freaking fall in love with yourself.
Yeah.
And so when you do go back with somebody else, you're going back with the right relationship and with you and with another person. So I like to toss that out there because people give me a lot of grief about going to France alone. And I'm like, no. Walking alone along the Seine in moonlight and just meandering is, there's always music and stuff. It's Paris. You know, it's very, you know, TV perfect. And I've never regretted it. And it's actually, I protect very much that if I do go there with someone, it's going to have to be the right someone, because now my association with that is something very important to me about who I am and who I want to be.
Right. Yeah. I love the idea of like taking yourself out on dates of it, it's kind of one of those things, like if you don't know what you like, how would you ever be able to communicate that to a partner? It's crazy to ask them to mind read, right? So you need to have that exploration. And what you were saying too about finding out who you were in this chapter, because unfortunately, we are dynamic. We are constantly changing. It feels like a never ending game of like, what's new with Erica today? And it's quite exciting as well, I'd like to think. But yeah, it can be very exhausting for someone who has not done this, of like trying to figure out who they are and taking the time to kind of reflect inwards and just ask themselves what they want. How do you get started? Because if you don't know what you love, you don't know what interests you, it can be a bit overwhelming to have so many possibilities out there that it can stop you from taking that first step.
I would just start with some basic things. And you guys are probably going to, people are probably going to laugh a little bit. It's, I don't know why this example is coming to mind, but I'm going to give it to you because it's coming to mind. So therefore, it's probably meaningful in this moment. Maybe meaningful to somebody else. So after my divorce, and I had been with my ex-husband 15 years. So we had been together a really long time. I was out of dish soap. And I went to the grocery store or the store and was in the aisle. And I went to grab the one that I had been buying for like close to 2 decades. And then I stopped myself and I said, I remember thinking, I hate this soap. Why am I buying this soap? Like, I really don't like this thing. And it occurred to me, I was buying it not because I liked it, but it because it was my ex-husband's favorite. It's what he liked. And just out of habit, I kept buying it. Even though our relationship ended, I was still doing things out of habit. And so it forced me to start thinking about just my daily habits. Like, and that's where I would start is, you know, do you like, what movies do you like? Why do you like those movies? Just ask a lot of why questions. Like, why is this my favorite cuisine? Do you know? Is it just out of habit? You know, are there certain things that you do because they've come from other places? And that's absolutely fine if you sit there and you go, oh, I remember why I like this. And then if it's a good thing, yay. If it's because it's just something you did and you're carrying over, but you have no real reason for something, maybe ask yourself some questions of, is there something I would prefer more? Is there something I can go explore? So to use my very boring example. So I did. I put it back. I tried some other things. And then I found what I liked, what I preferred. But it starts with small stuff. Like, it's not the big things. I think everybody always thinks it's the big things. It's because your life is made up of the millions of small activities you do every day that you don't even think about. And so I would start with that. So another example, which many women probably will relate to, probably some men too, is like, what do you wear? Like, I wouldn't wear certain clothes because my ex-husband said it didn't make me look well. Like, he was very judgmental of it. Mm. And so, particularly early in our relationship. And so I remember a friend of mine, we were clothes shopping, and she's like, why don't you try this on? And I was like, oh, I don't look good in that. She's like, what are you talking about? Go try it on. And I looked great. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a pattern that had formed 20 years before.
Right.
And so until like I challenged this idea about myself, I was like, huh, I do look good in this. Well, granted, maybe 20 years ago, my body shape was different. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm different today. So again, I would just start with the simple, like the everything you do. Like, is there a reason you gravitate to that thing? Why do you mm-hmm. gravitate to that thing? Is that still true for you? I think that's what I would recommend for somebody. It doesn't have to be the big stuff. Start with the small stuff.
Right. I like that. It's very doable. You can start today. You don't have to have a bunch of money to mm-hmm. go out on a trip. So once you started asking yourself these questions, in your daily habits, in your romantic relationship, how did that change other aspects of your life as well? Like with your career or, with where you live, what you do with your time?
Yeah. I found that the more I started challenging like who I was, and then ultimately when you were like, well, who am I? Mm. The next question comes up with is, what do you want? Mm. And I found that those answers were starting to change. And I also found that I had some tendencies that were showing up in my work relationships no differently than they were in my personal relationships. So how I handled conflict, I started to notice my patterns there. And I just felt like I wanted more or wanted different than what I had. And then it forced me to say, okay, well, you're not going to do what you're doing today. What are you going to do? and where can that be? Does it have to be here? Where do you want to go? So then it almost became an exercise in, okay, well, if I could go anywhere and do anything that I really loved and wanted to do today, what would that be? And it doesn't mean I have to go do it, but just an exercise in if I were to push myself. Like, as you start to figure out who you are and what you actually want, it is going to change potentially what you see in your work environment. Mm-hmm. And it may not. You may find like, cool, like it shows up for me I show up in a different way, but I love where I am and I love what I do. I would say for me, I felt like, just like I felt like in my relationship, I had started to play really small. I felt like in my professional life, I was playing really small. And so what would it mean if I didn't stay in something that was comfortable but wasn't actually fulfilling? Mm. So, yeah, so I did some crazy things. And so I ended up leaving corporate and I started my own business. And the funny thing is like after the divorce, I started doing photography and like there was a creative side that came out and I ended up writing a book, which you referenced in the intro. That was never on like my list of how everybody has a list of things they want to do in life. Right. Writing a book was not one, but it presented itself. And I was like, why not? Mm-hmm. There's nothing that says I can't do that. I am my own limitation. Right. And I started to see that in myself, that when I chose to play small, it was because I limited myself, not because somebody else did it. It's because I convinced myself I could or could not do something, or I should or should not do something. I don't know. When you start to become aware of your patterns, you start to realize you can be your own best cheerleader or you can be your own like mean girl. And you have to decide which one you want to pick to listen to on any given day.
Right. And as you're speaking about that, it's a lot of internal reflection and that kind of mimics the spiritual side of Eat, Pray, Love, the pray part. Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself dabbling in spirituality, or was it always more of like a self-reflection? Did you do meditation?
Oh, I totally got into meditating. Oh gosh, yeah, I did. And it's so funny. I hadn't thought of it that way. I'm not particularly a religious person. I do believe there are forces and things that happen that can't be explained. So I'm not sure what exists.
Right.
But I do believe that there is something very powerful in slowing yourself down and really paying attention to your thoughts. And again, you'll start to notice again what I talked about, like the cheerleader, the mean girl, or the mean boy, the mean person that's talking to you in your head. Because sometimes that voice who's talking to you could be somebody else.
Right.
It's the echoes of past people who were really good at helping undermine confidence or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily always have to be your own internal voice. But no, I did get into meditation. I actually, during COVID, because, you know, there was so much to do during COVID.
Right.
I did go through a mindfulness-based training and certification program. And it was where you built up to meditating for about an hour.
Wow.
At a time. And it's very interesting when you start to practice that, where you, because you can't control, like you start to see your thoughts more as not who you are, but again, almost as clouds floating by. I know it's a little woo-woo of a thing, but it's true. Cause like you start to understand that you maybe don't need to believe everything you think.
Right.
Cause your brain is going to create thought that sometimes will challenge you, sometimes will not be accurate. And you have to be willing and able to slow down and decipher what it actually means for you.
Right.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that. I think journaling was good. Because it forces you to write it down. And once you write something down, it's very real.
Right.
And then you go back and you read it. It's so funny because I go back and read things that I wrote, particularly at tough times, like when I wasn't sure and I doubted myself and or felt kind of stupid about some things or some choices I had made. And I look back now and I read that and I was like, no, like in hindsight,
oh yeah,
something big, like you can see how it was a necessary moment to get to the next thing, or I don't know. And I'm grateful I wrote that stuff down because your mind is really good at picking certain things, and you usually pick the stuff that hurt the most or that made you angriest. You know, I think our brains are wired that way.
Right.
But it's also fun to go back and read like about joy and being proud of myself and remembering like how big of a step, like that first trip to Scotland, how big of a step that was. Like now I'm like, yeah, I'll buy a ticket, I'll hop a plane. But that first trip was so important and so scary. And I wasn't willing to admit it outside to other people. But inside, I was like, okay, whew, let's make sure this isn't a mistake. But it wasn't.
Right.
And I was able to prove to myself it was actually the best decision I made. So I think journaling is helpful, even if it's just a couple lines a day of like, what are you most grateful for today? You know, what was your biggest fear? Like if you had to, like, because I know not everybody's a writer, you know, just pick thing, like, what was my greatest fear today? What was my greatest learning today? What am I grateful for?
Right.
Three things. And you'd be amazed at the patterns you'll start to see emerge about yourself and your life. And I'd say those two things are the big things.
For sure. I love the idea. I saw this on Instagram, I think the other day. This person didn't like journaling, but she enjoyed embroidery. So for each day of the year, she like embroidered a little something to like remind herself of what happened that day. And I think it's such a beautiful little piece that you have at the end. So whatever it is that sparks joy in you, like go on Instagram, scroll for a little bit. I'm sure you'll find something that someone has done that maybe inspires you to do something. And if it allows you to take that first step, that's what really matters. Now it sounds like you have spent a lot of time reflecting on who you are, what's important to you, and it's led you to the life that you are in right now. Is there anything that you've taken from that book that you still use day to day now?
I would say one, yes. So short answer, yes. I try to be really aware. Maybe, and it's possible I'm still too aware, but of when things, when I, especially when I'm in a relationship with somebody, or, and it doesn't have to be romantic either, just even with friends, of I know that there are certain tendencies I have when in certain situations that don't necessarily set me up for the greatest outcome. So like when you, like for conflict's a good one that comes up a lot, like how you handle certain kinds of conflict. Like I know I can pull back. Mm-hmm. So instead of like digging in and engaging mm-hmm. in it, I will say, okay, I don't want to do this. Right. Now, depending on the relationship, I need to like engage. And how is there a healthy way to do that? And so one is I have to stay grounded in myself, because that was a whole thing that came out in the book, is that every time she started to feel like she was losing that touch with herself, like it became very scary. Mm-hmm. So I always try to stay honest with myself, even if I can't go back and fix something. Like, mm-hmm. okay, who are you in this moment? What do you own in this moment?
Right.
I also would say the other things I take from this book too, from a relationship standpoint, is there's the scene that I think is really funny where she's, just gotten to Bali mm-hmm. and she's out dancing and there's a young guy and she's like, oh, I did you like last month, last year. And so it's being honest about my own my own patterns mm-hmm. that I can easily fall into. Even if they're like, who do I want to be in this moment? Do I want to allow myself to be that person that I was 10 years ago? No. Do I want to be the person I was 5 years ago? No. It's okay to walk away from something mm-hmm. and laugh at the same time. Like, you just laugh at yourself, laugh at the situation, but know who you want to be and don't lose sight of that because someone else is in your space. So I think that's a huge component of the book. And that also means sometimes you're going to have to push yourself uncomfortably and be very vulnerable in order to move forward in your life. But you still have to know those pieces and parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
I can definitely see why you recommended this book and how it's impacted you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, the advice, and coming on the podcast. If people are looking for you, what's the best way to find you?
I have a website that's my name. So mm-hmm. KimberlyJBenoit.com. You can find me there. There, my email address, all the contacts, all the info is there. If you are more of a business person, you can also find me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on LinkedIn, feel free to connect with me there and have a conversation. I love talking to people.
Right.
And I'm just really appreciate you allowing me to be on.
For sure. And before we go, you also, since you were bringing up that you love talking to people, you're starting a panel.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us
about
that?
My podcast is launching for 2024 and we're doing some fun stuff. So we're going to be having a series, a three-part series, talking about practical advice for leaders and creating an engaged team culture. Mm-hmm. So again, you'll find that I focus on the small stuff. Right. I think the small stuff equals really big things. Sure. So if you get the small things right, the big stuff just happens naturally. So it's all easy, practical advice. And then after that, we're going to be doing some panel interviews, again, around practical advice for leaders and navigating really challenging stuff. So some topics we're going to be tackling are how to handle resistance, like without coming down, like with a big sledgehammer of like, just do it. and also the other one is going to be, the other one I'm really excited about is how to lead your friends. So when you go from being peers to that power shift, mm-hmm. What are things leaders should think about, need to think about in order for that transition to be healthy and not anytime you have a power shift, it can be challenging, but how to navigate that maybe in a smoother way than you would have otherwise.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. This podcast was brought to you by me, Erica Ng, and my sound guy, Stevie, who is the reason there was a huge upgrade in the quality between episode 4 and 5 of season 1. If you enjoyed, please send this episode to a friend who could use the advice or someone who would find this a great listen. If you have thoughts or tips you'd like to share, please do at Self Help Junkie Pod on Instagram, Twitter, or Gmail. I'll see you guys next time.